Welcome to Wisdom Trek with Gramps. Wisdom is the final frontier in gaining true knowledge. Our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, and boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. This is Gramps. Thanks for coming along on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Today is day 1561 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is essential to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, we must have a proper understanding of God and His Word. This week, we will continue reviewing a book from Dr. Michael S. Heiser titled Supernatural. The book is an abbreviated version of a more comprehensive book, The Unseen Realm. I highly recommend both of these books. Creating a biblical worldview based on the Old and New Testaments and how they connect with God's overall plan for humanity is essential. This book review will help you to understand what the Bible teaches about the unseen world and why it matters. And today's chapter is titled, Hidden in Plain Sight. Since the fall, God has been trying to revive His original goal for Eden, to live with both His divine and human family on earth. God had told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, thereby spreading God's good rule over the rest of the planet. God wanted the whole earth to be a place where heaven and earth met, where humanity could enjoy the divine, where the divine could enjoy the earth and humanity. With our review so far, we know how that went. It's just been a history of failure. Humanity sinned and was expelled from God's presence. Eden was shut down. The divine enemy, the serpent, was banished, or cast or cut down, from God's presence to earth, the place where death reigns, where life is not everlasting. He became Lord of the dead, and therefore had claim to every human being who would ever live because they sin, and sin's wages are death, as we are told in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. After the flood, God had repeated the goal of Eden to Noah and his family, be fruitful and multiply. It was a do-over. Instead, humanity rebelled. Rather than obey God and spread the knowledge of the rule of God everywhere, they would build a tower where God would come to them. Failure again. God wouldn't go for it. He mixed up the nations' languages and turned the nations over to His divine council rule. He then decided to start over with a new family, through Abraham and Sarah. He would get back to the other nations through Abraham's descendants once his kingdom rule was revived, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Abraham and Sarah, too, were a failure, and so was the next attempt bringing Israel out of Egypt, then to Sinai, and then to the Promised Land. Israel failed. Eventually, God raised up David and then Solomon, but after Solomon died, Israel followed other gods and the Israelites turned on each other. God had to expel them from the Promised Land into exile. The human story, apart from God's presence, is the story of failure. This is because humanity is lost since the fall. All humans are imperfect and estranged from God. No human leader could be trusted with starting and maintaining God's kingdom. They would resist loyalty to God alone. They would go their own way. Humans would sin, fail, and join the Lord of the dead, God's great enemy. But God's vision of sharing the blessing of being steward kings over New Eden couldn't happen without humans. The only way that humans would ever be able to hold up their end of God's plan would be for them to be made new again. The curse of the fall must be lifted, and for that, God had a plan. He had both a solution and a problem. God needed a man who was more than a man, someone who could resist temptation, who would always obey, who was fit for kingship, who would reverse the curse of death by dying and then rising again by His own power. All of that could happen only one way. God Himself would become human. God would fulfill His own plan as a man for all humankind and restore Eden. Only when humans were forgiven and made divine like Jesus through His resurrection power could Eden be a reality. And this is found in 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 through 3. But there was a problem. If the plan were discovered that the man who was God was here to die, to rise again, to ensure God's original vision would be restored, the forces of darkness wouldn't fall for it. This is precisely what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory, before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would have not crucified our glorious Lord. Who is Paul talking about? The word rulers can refer to human authorities such as Pontius Pilate and the Jewish leaders, but Paul also had divine demonic powers in view, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. God's enemies, human and divine, had to be kept in the dark, everything dependent on the death and resurrection of the God-man. But how could he keep it secret? This was done through a cryptic Messiah. The God-man upon whom the restoration of Eden depended was, of course, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. But did it surprise you that I suggested that the Messianic plan was a secret? Can't we read in the Old Testament and see the whole plan? The answer is, no, we can't. Believe it or not, there is no verse in the Old Testament that uses the word Messiah of a man who was actually God and who would die for the sins of humanity. Not even Isaiah chapter 53 verse 11 with the portrait of a suffering servant. The word Messiah never appears in that chapter, and elsewhere in Isaiah, the servant refers to the nation of Israel, not an individual savior. The word Messiah, which means anointed, nearly always refers to David or one of his descendants who reigned as king after him. The proof of what I am saying, that the profile of the divine Messiah would die and rise again, is hard to find in the Old Testament, but it is apparent in the New Testament. Think of how the disciples responded to Jesus when he told them that he was going to Jerusalem to die. The announcement mystified and distressed them. They didn't respond by saying, "Oh right, we read that in the scripture." Peter even rebuked Jesus for saying it. The disciples had no sense, no clue, of the new plan of God. They thought of Jesus only as David's son and rightful heir to the throne, someone who performed miracles just as the Old Testament prophets did. Even after the resurrection, the disciples had to have their minds supernaturally open to see the suffering Messiah. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared to them and said in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45, "Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." The new plan of God, that he would die and rise from the dead and reverse the curse of the fall, isn't at all evident in the Old Testament. Clues are scattered throughout the Old Testament in dozens of places. Never is it all revealed in one place. The Messianic profile is only evident in hindsight, and even then only to someone who already knows what to look for and to expect. Of course, intelligent, supernatural evil beings knew David's prophecy had arrived in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, and Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. That much they could grasp from the Old Testament, but nothing that the demons ever say creates the impression that they understood that Jesus had come to earth to die and rise again, reversing the curse. As Paul said, had they and Satan understood that, they would have never moved the people like Judas to betray Jesus to those who wanted him dead. The devil and those aligned with him are lots of things, but they are not morons. They were duped into killing Jesus just as God had planned. They launched a series of events that would lead to their demise and was divinely designed misdirection. We just saw parts of the profile. In hindsight, we can see the Messianic profile pieces with more clarity than the disciples could. While no verse describes the divine Messianic son of David dying and rising to reverse the curse, those threads run throughout the Old Testament. Having already seen how the plan played out, you can find the thread and start following the patterns. For example, who is the Son of God? The answer isn't Jesus in the Old Testament. Adam was God's son. He was the first man. Israel was called God's son. The Israelites' kings were called God's son. In the New Testament, Jesus was the second Adam and the Son of God. We might ask, who is God's servant? Adam served God. Israel was called God's servant. David and the other Israelites' king in his lineage were also called God's servants. Jesus was also a servant. Did these sons of God and the servants of God suffer? Did their earthly existence end at some point? Was their existence renewed? Do they have a future in the new Eden? The answers are all yes. Adam, Israel, and the Davidic kings were all exiled from God's presence, the place on earth where he dwelled, Edom in the promised land. Yet they were and will be redeemed in a new Eden to live with God and the risen Jesus. All of these figures point to Jesus in some manner, and he completes the pattern. He is the unified picture that becomes visible when the pictures are all detected and put in their proper places. It's sort of like a jigsaw puzzle. Everything was in plain sight, yet undetectable without hindsight. So we might consider why this matters. Intelligent evil, Satan, demons, and lesser gods who rule the nations do not know everything. They do not have the mind of God, nor can they penetrate it. We tend to presume because they are supernatural, they are all-knowing, and that's just not true. There is only one omniscient being, which is God, and he happens to be on our side. Because of the fall, Satan had the rightful jurisdiction over us all. What do I mean? Because of Adam's sin, death spread to all, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The serpent was cursed, cast down to rule over the realm of the dead, the underworld, or what we refer to as hell. Because of the fall, everyone is destined to die and go to the realm of the dead, where the devil reigns. That all changed when Jesus came for the first time and fulfilled God's plan of salvation by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. The first step in restoring Eden was to provide the means for humanity to escape the curse of death. All who believe, who are made members of God's family and the kingdom, are no longer hostage to the curse of death and the Lord of the dead. That is why Jesus, when beginning his ministry of reviving the kingdom, which can be found in Luke chapter 10 verses 1 through 9, but he said in Luke chapter 10 verse 18, "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning." Jesus knew his death and resurrection would pay the sinner's debt, leaving Satan with no claim on their souls. The kingdom was the beginning of the end for the Lord of the dead. We must, again, remember who we are and where our identity comes from. Believers, collectively as a church, are called the body of Christ, and Jesus' body was raised. We will rise again because he was risen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. He is the firstborn of the dead. We are the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. And as John said in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But all who believed and accept him, he gave the right to become the children of God." Satan has no claim on the children of God because they will rise from death. There is no reason to look for the living in the realm of the dead. God wouldn't reveal his hand to anyone, be they human, divine, loyal, or adversarial. The specifics of how the Messiah would accomplish God's purpose had to be hidden. But God would let them know in absolute terms that when the Messiah appeared, he would be God in human flesh, and the restoration of the Edenic kingdom was the end game. As we'll see in the next two chapters over the next couple of weeks, that was just enough information to prompt faith in people's heart and to bait the powers of darkness into putting their own destruction into motion. And that will finish our study for this week's Worldview Wednesday. Join us again next week as we continue with the next chapter of Supernatural in our quest to build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow we will ponder another bit of wisdom from Gramps. So encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,560 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend, as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.